Our first scripture reading this morning will come from 1 Thessalonians. We'll be reading from chapter 5, verses 1 through 13 of 1 Thessalonians, and that's found on page 1031 of your Pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. But as to the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as travail comes upon a woman with child, and there will be no escape. But you are not in darkness, brethren, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the light, or of darkness. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not then, as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, for and a helmet and hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we wake or sleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And that is found on page 860 of your Pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away, and he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have not winnowed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was reading on the internet earlier this week about a lady in somewhere in Africa who was given $26, which is certainly not a lot of money, especially by our standards here in the United States. But she was given $26, and she took that money and started a clinic to nurse people back into health. And as a result of that original investment, she not only began to treat people that was in her immediate village, but she began to treat people in the next village and in the next village. And in a short matter of time, she was treating thousands upon thousands of people with that initial $26 investment. We're reminded that even though we may have a little, that if we are faithful in the little that we have, God will help us to have responsibility over much more. That's the way it is in the Bible. We may start out with just a few loaves and a few fish, but if we are faithful and we give that and we put ourselves at risk, then God will multiply what we have, and before we know it, there will be more than enough to do God's work and the work of the kingdom. Our text this morning from Matthew's gospel is a familiar passage that is often read during the stewardship season. We've already had occasion earlier this year to talk about stewardship from an individual perspective. We were reminded then that as individuals, that everything that we have comes from God, and that we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us, good stewards of our time and our talents and our resources. But this morning I want to talk a little bit about stewardship from a collective perspective, which is what I think Jesus and Matthew here is concerned about. God is not just concerned about what we do with our individual gifts and talents and resources, but God is concerned about the stewardship faithfulness of communities of faith. You see, God has not only blessed us as individuals with what we need both to sustain our lives and to further the mission of the church, but God has also blessed each church, each community of faith, with gifts and resources to be used for the sake of the kingdom. Some churches have been blessed with a lot. They have a lot of resources, a lot of energy, a lot of people who are blessed with gifts and talents that help to further the mission of the church. And some churches may not have quite as much. But the important thing is not what we have. The important thing is how faithful we are with what we do have. And so in our text this morning, Jesus tells a parable to that end, a parable about faithfulness or the lack of faithfulness when it comes to churches being good stewards over what God has blessed them with. Jesus says there was a man who had a lot of money, a lot of property, and this man left to go on a journey in which he was expected to return. That's very important in this story. But he leaves to go on a journey, but before he leaves three of his servants with a considerable sum of money. The first servant, he gives 5 talents, which was a considerable sum of money in itself. And that servant took the money and he immediately goes out into the marketplace. He doesn't stay put at any one particular place, but he goes out into the marketplace, and he trades on the talents that he has been given, and before long, he doubles his money. And when the master comes back, he sees that the servant has doubled his money, and so he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've done a good job. You have doubled your money. Now that you have been faithful in a few things, I'm going to make you faithful over even more. I'm going to make you a steward over even more. So now come and enter into my blessings." And to a second servant, he gave 2 talents. And that servant too took the money, and he went into the marketplace, and he traded on the talents. And before long, he too had doubled his money. And when the master came back, he saw that he had doubled his money. And he said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You too have been faithful over a few things, and now I'm going to make you stewards over even more. You too come and enter into my blessing." But, of course, there was the third servant, the one who was given 1 talent, 5 times less than what was given to the first servant, and half as much as was given to the second servant. But the talent is still a lot of money. You can do a lot of things with even 1 talent. And yet, when the master came back, the servant only had the amount of money that he was given at the outset. It's not that this servant is bad. The text doesn't tell us that he was bad. The text doesn't tell us that he was a dishonest servant. The text doesn't tell us that he pilfered the master's money in any way. He's not a profligate person. He hasn't gone out and partied the money away like the prodigal son in Luke's gospel. He hasn't squandered any of the money that his master has given him. In fact, he's got every cent that his master has given him. The problem is that he just hasn't done anything with what his master had given him. He didn't go out into the marketplace. He didn't trade on the money. He didn't invest it. He just buried it. Didn't do a whole lot with it at all. Just buried it in the ground. He just played it safe. And sometimes that's not a bad strategy, to just play it safe. I imagine that there are all kinds of people today who wish that they would have played it safe. We've learned recently in the world of finance and investment banking that a little bit of caution and a little bit of prudence can be a good thing. But the problem is that when it comes to the kingdom of God, being safe and playing it safe is not a virtue. When it comes to the kingdom of God, being safe, playing it safe, holding on to what you have becomes a vice. The kingdom of God is not about being safe, but the kingdom of God is about taking risk. And so this servant, far from being commended for his prudence and caution, is strongly rebuked by his master. Now, in one sense, this parable is about the coming of the kingdom of God. It's about the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a reminder to us that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of lords, and he is King of kings, and he's coming back. He's coming back to establish his kingdom. He's coming back to reconcile this world to God. He's coming back to establish God's peace and God's justice to a wayward world. That's not a fairy tale. That's not some hopeful delusion that we are harboring, but that's the gospel. You can take that to the bank. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back, whether we want it to happen or not, whether we expect it to happen or not. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's bringing the kingdom with him. So this text is about Jesus Christ coming back. He is coming back. And in the meantime, you and I as the church, you and I as the body of Christ are called to watch and to wait and to be prepared for that coming. And being prepared for the coming of our Lord means being a good steward of what God has entrusted us with. And what God has entrusted us with as his church, wherever we might be, wherever we might serve, what God has entrusted us with is the proclamation of the gospel, the good news of the gospel in word and in deed. God has endowed each church with gifts and talents and with responsibilities to make the proclamation of the gospel real in the lives of those that we are called to serve. But here's the catch. In order to be that good steward, in order to be that good servant, it means that we are called to put ourselves at risk. It means that we are called to be vulnerable for the sake of the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is not about playing it safe, but the kingdom of God is about love. And love always entails risk. The risk to the early Christian communities that first read Matthew's gospel would have been considerable. In some instances, it would have been a matter of life and death. To be entrusted with the gospel has never been for the timid or the faint-hearted or the fearful. To declare that Jesus Christ is Lord was something that Christians down through the ages have staked their lives on. Not only did they boldly proclaim the truth that Jesus Christ was Lord, but they traded on that truth. They staked their lives on that truth. They put their energy into that truth. They put their resources into that truth. They put their time into that truth. They build hospitals and they build nursing homes and they build schools and they stood up for the promotion of social righteousness. They put their lives on the line for the proclamation of the gospel, the proclamation of the truth that Jesus is Lord. That's what they believed and that's what they proclaimed. And they was not afraid to proclaim that, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. This world belongs to him. God has given him all authority and all power, and he's coming back, and we stake our lives on it. We know that there is a risk, but we're staking our lives on the good news of that proclamation. But this parable is not only about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this parable is also about faith. Not just our own faithfulness in being good stewards with the gospel that God has entrusted us with, but the faith that we have in God. I've often heard it said that the opposite of faith is not doubt, but the opposite of faith is fear. And that's the problem with the third servant in our parable this morning. He is fearful. He's fearful about the future. And it is in that fear that he's become paralyzed. He can't do anything or he won't do anything because he is afraid, afraid of the future. And one of the temptations that we often are prone to is that the less we have, the more we try to hold on. The less we have, the more we try to preserve it. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to put ourselves at risk. We don't want to do anything new because we're afraid what's going to happen if we do something new. We're afraid what's going to happen if we suddenly put ourselves at risk, and so we just try to hold on and preserve what we have. I know all kinds of churches that have been like that, churches that have been afraid, afraid to do anything new, churches that are afraid to put themselves at risk churches that are afraid that if they do something, it's going to threaten the future, and so they don't do anything. They just play it safe. But the gospel is not about playing it safe. The gospel is about the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is about risks. One of the things I like about our church here at Olney Presbyterian Church is that we are an evangelical church. We are unashamedly, unabashedly an evangelical church. And I understand that there are different interpretations about what that means. But for me, it means, in the words of the Apostle Paul, that we are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not afraid to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. We're not afraid to proclaim that. And we're not afraid to live that out. One of the problems that I have with many churches today, especially many so-called mainline churches, is it seems that we are afraid. We're afraid to proclaim the gospel. We are afraid to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are afraid. We're afraid to put ourselves at risk. Not us here at Olney Presbyterian Church, but in the larger church. Oftentimes, people are afraid. We're afraid to knock on doors. We're afraid to go out into the community. We are afraid to share the good news with strangers. We're afraid what people are going to think about us. We're afraid that if we proclaim that Jesus is Lord, people are going to think we're some kind of nuts that have put our faith in some kind of fantasy in the sky. We're afraid. And so we hold on to what we got. We bury the gospel. It's okay on Sunday morning, we say. It's okay to come to church and to sing the kind of songs that we think God wants to hear. It's okay to proclaim it within inside our walls, but we're afraid to put ourselves at risk outside of the walls of the church. We're afraid to put ourselves at risk in the community. We're afraid to proclaim and to live the fact that Jesus is Lord, and we're afraid to stake our lives on that because we have a little, or so we believe we have a little. That's something that the big churches can do. That's what I've heard people say. That's something those big churches can do. They can do that, but we're just a small church. We're just a little bitty church. We don't have a whole lot of people. We don't have a whole lot of resources, so we don't want to do that. No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to be out there doing the work of the kingdom because we're afraid. But the gospel is an invitation to escape from our fears. The gospel is an invitation to begin living for the kingdom. The gospel is an invitation to put ourselves at risk. The gospel is an invitation to share the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I know sometimes we Presbyterians aren't into evangelism. We're not into that. That's something that other people do. We don't have a right to foist our beliefs on others. I've heard people say that. We shouldn't do that. We're not into evangelism. And yet, most of us are here today because somebody down the line have been faithful in evangelizing somebody. We are here today because somebody wasn't afraid to put themselves at risk. We are here today because some Christian somewhere at some time gave everything so that the gospel could be proclaimed. We are the recipients of that good news. We are the recipients of all of that exertion. We are the recipients of people who weren't afraid to risk. We are the recipients of those who gave everything that they had to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And now we too are asked to evangelize. We too are asked to put ourselves at risk. Often we wonder in the church, what's happened to the church? Why aren't we that power which in the days of old caused both heaven and earth to move? Why are we losing members? Why aren't people coming to the church anymore? What's wrong with the church? Why do we have these great big buildings and so few people? Why aren't we what we used to be? And one of the reasons is that perhaps We fail to be vulnerable. We fail to put ourselves at risk. We don't want to be out there in the midst of the community. We don't want to be out there doing the kind of hard work that God has called us to do. We don't want to do anything new. We just want to hold on to what we have and play it safe. But the gospel is not about playing it safe. The gospel is about risk. What would happen if we in the church today weren't afraid to proclaim the good news of the gospel? What would happen if we were out there in the marketplace, visibly out there in the marketplace, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord? What would happen if we were out there in the public square proclaiming that Jesus Christ was Lord? What would happen if we were out there in the streets proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord? He's not just the Lord of my individual heart. He's not just my own personal Savior, but Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord over the economy. He's Lord over the political process. He's Lord over everything. He's Lord. All power has been given to Him. What would happen if we were out there proclaiming that? What would happen if we believed that? What would happen if we lived that? What would happen if we put ourselves at risk in that kind of way? If we said, here's the deal. Here's where we stand. We stand with the proclamation that this world belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ and that He's coming back and claiming this world again. What would happen if we really staked our lives on that? If we really believed that? Our parable this morning, it's a parable of promise, and it's also a parable of threat. The promise is that if we put ourselves at risk, if we're willing to be vulnerable, if we're willing to give ourselves to the kingdom, if we're really willing to give our all, then God will bless that and honor that, and God will help us who have been faithful over a few things to be faithful and be good stewards over even more. That's the promise. The promise is that we do not have to be afraid in anything that we do for the sake of the kingdom. That's the clarion call in the gospel. Do not be afraid. It's mentioned over and over and over again. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Put your faith and trust in God, who is the source of life. It's at the end and at the behind everything else. Do not be afraid. That's the promise. Don't be afraid. But there's also a threat. And that threat is that if we fail to give our all, if we try to hold back, if our purpose is to stay safe, then God will take the talent that we have and give it to those who are worthy of it. What we want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want to hear that we've been faithful over a few, so God will continue to bless us with more and more so that we can continue to have an impact for the sake of the kingdom. Do not live in fear. Do not be weary over the fact that our resources are perhaps not as big or as plentiful as what others have. But be faithful in what we do have. Be faithful in serving God with all that we have so that we might be a blessing to this community, a blessing to those who are desperately in need of hearing and experiencing the good news that Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and that Jesus Christ is coming back to claim this world as His own. Don't be caught off guard. Be alert. Be awake. Be prepared. Be good stewards of the gospel that has been given to each and every one of us to proclaim. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, You have called us not to have a spirit of fear, but You have called us to go out in faith and trust in you, serving you with all that we have. We ask, Lord, that as we continue to serve you in the midst of this community, that you continue to bless us. Help us to realize that what we have is so much more than we realize. Help us to see the blessings and the energy and the skills and the talents and the enthusiasm of each and every person here. Open our eyes so that we can see the abundant riches that we have. Even those of us who have been blessed with one talent, that it is still an abundance of riches that we have for the sake of the kingdom. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in the little so that we might enter into your joy and into your delightful presence. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.